Awesome. So Chris is going to speak to us. So why don't we just pray for him real quick? If you want to, you can stretch out a hand towards him. If you don't, that's also fine. But yeah, we're just going to quickly pray for Chris as he shares. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you've put on Chris's heart today to share with us. We thank you that you speak to him and that you've been speaking to him. And Lord, we just thank you that he has been preparing for this with such faithfulness, with such humility. We just come to you like he has to listen to what you have to say. Would you open our hearts, open our ears? Would you soften us as we learn more about how to worship, what it means to worship? Would you give Chris the right words to say? As he hears from you and he's sensitive towards you even as he does his talk. And we just thank you for, we just thank you for how you work in us and through us for each other. Yeah. And so we come to you expectant in this time. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Chloe. Good morning. My name's Chris. I'm one of the leaders here at Christ Church. It is a delight to be with you this morning. Have you ever read a Bible passage and found yourself saying or thinking, well, that was then? Maybe you haven't. I have. And usually when I do that, the comment that comes after that, at least in my mind, is, well, that was then, and things were different then. And so you think of like Exodus 35, and you've got the tabernacle, they're getting ready to build the tabernacle. And God says to them, call up an offering, all who are willing, give gold and silver and bronze and yarn and material and all sorts of things. And there's this enormous offering. That was then. Things are different now. What about Nehemiah 8? They find the book of the law of Moses. Ezra reads it to the people. They lift their hands up and shout out, amen, amen. And then they fall down to the ground with their faces to the ground in worship of God. That was then. Things are different now. Acts 4. The believers were one in heart and mind, and they shared all they had. That was then. Things are different now. And of course they are, because we live in a culture that is not like ancient Hebrew culture or first century Jewish or Greek culture. It's different. The way we have our relationships, the work, all that we do happens in different ways. And so things will be different, but not everything. And when I find myself using that phrase to lessen the impact, maybe, of those stories of old, God's story, on my life, I remind myself that God is the same always. The great hymn writer reminds us, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy companions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. God doesn't change. And so when he calls people to worship him, our response of worship is the same as those who have gone before us. Whether that's 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 4, 5, 6,000 years ago. It doesn't change. Now, if you were here last week, you'll have heard Paul talk to us about worship. Begin this journey that we're taking to really explore what worship is. And reminding us that worship is something that we do in spirit and in truth. And that when we worship Jesus, we engage in this radically outward-focused act. For together, we proclaim who Jesus is and our love for Jesus. And that shifts things in the heavenlies. And people see that and they say, I want to know the Jesus who you worship. In the midst of Paul's talk, he shared a quote about worship. It was this: worship is described as the kissing ground between the bride and Christ. The bride, that's us, the church, those who worship Jesus. The kissing ground, it captures something of the intimacy, the devotion, the trust that is present in the place of worship. Now today, we are going to be in Hebrews 12. It's a chapter of the Bible that includes the word worship only once, and only in some English translations. Other ones translate it as service. Worship, service. They go together. The same thing. Us choosing to serve the living Lord Jesus. Turn with me if you've got your Bibles with you. Switch them on. Turn to the right page, whichever version you use. Let's read from the first few verses of chapter 12. We're going to focus just on a bit at the start and a larger section at the end. It would take us far longer than we have today to go through the whole of Hebrews 12. Let's read from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so Hebrews 12 might be a chapter that only mentions worship once. And yet, it is all about worship. And it begins in this place by placing Jesus right in the center and reminding us who it is that we worship. Let's read those few words again. You probably know these really well. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I can't think of a better definition of worship than that. And notice how the language is corporate. It's not like to just, well, you do that, and you do that. It's us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. But to understand what happens when we choose to respond to Jesus' invitation to worship him, we have to look at a bit more of God's story. And Hebrews 12 does this beautifully by bringing us in, saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And so we have to look back in time and back at Hebrews 11. And we're going to do that now. You see, one of the key things that happens when we choose to worship is we move from becoming passive observers of what is going on in God's story of salvation to active participants. We become part of that story. And so I'm going to take us back into that story. If we just imagine the center of the church here is the timeline of history. Okay, I'm going to walk right to the back, and we'll just think that this place right at the back is the point of creation. Sorry for you having to turn your heads around on the live stream. I think you might be able to see what's happening here. Let's just picture that this is the point at which God said, let there be light. And he created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. He declared his love for his creation. He created human beings in his image and said, I love you. And then history, as we know, it started unfolding. And people rejected him. They denied his love. They said, no, I don't want to receive that. But we start to read in Hebrews 11 of those who stood firm in faith. We read of Abel. He was killed for his faith. We read of Enoch, of Noah, of Abraham, Sarah. And so we go on through the ages. This is the story of God's people walking with him, responding to his love for them. And this isn't just some story that happened back there. When we choose to worship God, this is our story. This is our story. Let's keep on going through history. At some point, we come to Moses. As we go through history, we come to Mount Sinai. God appears to his people. I'm going to pick up reading Hebrews 12. Turn with me, verse 18. It says this, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. And yet Moses went up the mountain, called by God to go up into the cloud. There was an act of worship. That's part of God's story of salvation. We move on in history. Hebrews continues in chapter 11. We hear of Gideon and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and so many more that are not mentioned here. And then we have a gap, 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Still people worshiping, still people looking for the Messiah. Let's read now from verse 22 in Hebrews 12. So Moses, trembling with fear, that mountain, we've not come to that mountain. But you, it's us, the people who worship Jesus. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the moment that the whole of God's story has been yearning towards, all of that history. And it's the moment that the whole of God's story, stretching on to eternity, will be shaped by. And not just that, but everything that's gone past. Look at the very end of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. These, that's all those who've been mentioned in chapter 11, all these giants of the faith, these mighty women and men of God, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God perfects the whole of his creation. Those who've walked before and said, I choose to worship you, God. And those who walk after and said, ah, Jesus, I see now your plan, God. I choose to worship Jesus. And so Jesus has always been the focal point of our worship. Even for thousands of years ago, they were looking towards the Messiah who would bring salvation. And so we carry on through the New Testament, and we have so many names that we can't list them all, but we might think of Elizabeth and Mary and Paul and Peter and Simeon and so many others who chose to worship Jesus. And we come now to the present day. And so we stand in this place, this moment in history, stretching on ahead of us, if we continue this timeline, the certain hope of eternity with God through Jesus, because we are those who've chosen to worship him. Our lives as yet unwritten, those who will come afterwards, after us, their lives as yet unknown. But we are here in this moment. And try as I might to say to God, well, all of that, that was then, God. I find his resounding voice coming back saying, it still is now. That was then, God, and it still is now. And so when I read of the giants of our faith and we look, God says, well, why should it be different? As I was leaving my house this morning, I just had that thought, wouldn't it be great? God, it was just so good for your people in the wilderness. You gave them like this pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. Imagine opening your door and there it is, you know, just ready to lead you through the day. That would be quite cool. And then God said to me, well, I've given you my spirit. What more do you want? That's true though, isn't it? We can look at those things and think, yeah, a pillar of fire would be amazing. God said, yeah, but I've given you my spirit in you. I mean, isn't that better? And of course it is. But we know it in our heads that it is. But when you start to think about it like that, you start to think, gosh, no, it really is better. It really is better. And so what of this moment? Us, our lives, they've reached this point in the timeline of history. We can look at what has been before us. We can learn from them. We can say we are part of their story. Their story is our story, and our story is their story, because it's all brought together around Jesus. But what about those moments? We come here, what, hour and a half, a couple of hours on a Sunday? There's quite a lot of other hours in the week. And so our lives have so many different contexts. You might just think of all the different people you meet. So we'll just imagine there's an axis here. This is present day, going stretching across the stage. There's so many different places. Who are you going to meet with tomorrow? What different contexts are you going to be in? It's not church on a Sunday, because we're in Monday now. What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in the mornings, in the evenings, in the afternoons? More moments in our life. So many different contexts where we're connected to some people here, but so many others. Moments when we're on our own. Moments when we're with many. Moments when the things we are doing might seem like they are actively focused on Jesus. We might be reading the Bible. We might be praying. We might be singing songs. Moments when it doesn't look like that. We might be in a meeting. We might be standing at a school gate, waiting at a bus stop. We might be walking through the city. Different things, different places. And so our lives, stretching across this axis, are opportunities for every context, every moment, every decision to be a place where we choose to worship Jesus. Let's go back to our definition at the start of Hebrews 12. In all these different contexts, think of them now. Just think about where you will be Monday afternoon. Maybe you don't know yet, but if you've got a diary ahead and you know where you'll be, just think about where you'll be. What does it look like in that moment for you to throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith? What does that look like? That's worship. Not just what happens here on a Sunday, but what happens in every other day of the week. Our lives centered around Jesus. Now that feels like a high bar, and it is a high bar. Thankfully, God doesn't say we have to work that up and do it in our own strength. But he does call us together as a people to encourage each other to look to Jesus. And so we do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit, who God has filled us with, leads us forward, gives us that inner strength to say, yes, I choose to follow you, Jesus. But he does that through us as a community of people who follow Jesus. Maybe you've come here this morning full of encouragement. You've got something in you about what God has been doing in your life this week. Who have you told? Who have you shared that with? Say, hey, let me tell you how God's been this week. Yeah, that might be just what that person needs to hear. To be reminded that God is active and present in our lives. Maybe you've come in need of encouragement this morning. Has someone spoken to you? Said, hey, God's with you. God calls us together to be his people, and our act of worship is to pour out our hearts to him, as we've done already in song and in words of prayer as we gathered around our ordinance. It's also our act of worship is to remind each other, not just of the stories of old that we can read in God's word, not just of those, but of the stories of this day, the stories of this moment that have been happening this week, last week, the week before, and telling each other, God is still present today, just as he was back then. What was true then is still true now. God still walks with us. So let's return to that quote that Paul gave us last week. Worship, the kissing ground between the bride and Christ. In our English culture, that can be quite uncomfortable language. And yet, Jesus calls us to that intimate relationship, to that closeness, to that place where trust is totally given. That's what he calls us to. That's the reality that he says is ours to have. Should we choose simply to worship him, Jesus, the one who gave it all? So I'll leave us with, as we close, the words at the end of Hebrews 12. Verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that is what stretches ahead of us. And that is the reality we can walk in today. Since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Worship God acceptably. We know the answer to that. It was there at the start. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. With every fiber of our beings, we try as hard as we can to say, look, Jesus, here is my life. And if you have to do that so many times every day, say, here, Jesus, just have my life. Have my life. Have my life. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Whether you feel like you've got faith that is this much or this much, whether you look at the giants of the faith that we read and think, I can never be like Moses or Sarah, I couldn't do that. God doesn't call us to be like them. He calls us to be who he's made us to be. He calls us to be this people here in this place this Sunday. And in this place to encourage each other, to lift our heads, to look to Jesus and simply say, look, as you've made me, God, here I am, here we are. Let us encourage each other to place Jesus in our midst. I wonder if we could stand. The wonder is, we don't precisely know what it looks like in this very moment for us to respond in worship to Jesus. Very soon we will break bread together. But in this moment, I'd like simply for us to wait on the Holy Spirit. You may be aware of the Spirit's presence, you may not. But we're going to wait for several minutes. If you're aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit now, just invite you to respond in whatever way the Holy Spirit is calling you. If you're not aware of this presence of the Spirit, don't worry for one moment. At any point in when we gather, some will be, some won't be. But maybe if you're not aware, just begin praying that God would lead us as his people forward. Sometimes God calls us to respond by kneeling. If that's something you're aware of, that might be difficult in the rows, but there's plenty of space between the rows and here at the front. At the beginning, Chloe shared that word about this being home, a place where you could kick your shoes off. With that was a word about peace, this being a place of peace. If that's something you need to know today, just begin asking the Holy Spirit to show you that. Paul is going to lead us on into breaking bread together.